It's Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024. Welcome to the Fast 5 Business News by Fear and Greed, where we give you the top 5 business stories you need to know in just 5 minutes. I'm Michael Thompson, and good morning, Sean Aylmer.
Good morning, Michael.
Sean, 5 big stories to race through in 5 minutes, so let's get going. Story number 1, the board of the Reserve Bank did not explicitly consider a rate rise at its recent meeting, but any rate cut could still be many months away.
The minutes to the board meeting held 2 weeks ago show that a run of data gave the board more confidence that still high inflation is tracking lower as expected. The board is at something of a loss, though, on what the next move will be. It is more likely to be down, and it certainly doesn't seem very clear when that might be. While consumption's been persistently weak, business investment and government spending has offset much of that weakness. Demand continues to outstrip supply, meaning higher interest rates are still needed to close that gap. The minutes show how concerned the board is about the housing market. The highest population growth in 72 years, alongside a post-pandemic preference for living with fewer people, means demand's high. On the supply side, new housing's been held back by capacity constraints, particularly for finishing trades, think painting and glasswork, that type of thing. The comments come as house prices in Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane hit a new high last month. Sydney isn't far off. The upshot is higher prices and rents, according to the minutes of the Reserve Bank. Now, an added complication from the housing sector is that lower interest rates will only fuel demand for housing, pushing prices up further.
Sean, so where does it actually leave all of us homeowners? I know that it's hard to predict with any certainty, but when is the first interest rate cut coming?
The $64 question. The Financial Review did a survey of economists. The consensus is November this year. Financial markets have priced in a cut in September. There's also a growing number of experts who are tipping that the first cut might not occur until next year, though. That's on the back of a still strong labour market and the associated wage pressures and an inflation rate that's only slowly heading back towards the Reserve Bank's preferred target range of 2 to 3%. The bank's board seems to be saying they just don't know at this point of the economic cycle when the official cash rate will change again.
All right, moving on to story number 2 now, and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has requested a meeting with the Israeli ambassador for an explanation as to why an Australian aid worker, Zomi Frankum, was killed by an airstrike in central Gaza while working for the World Central Kitchen.
An angry prime minister said Ms. Frankum's death is completely unacceptable. Reports say the 43-year-old aid worker was among 5 people killed by the airstrike in central Gaza as they helped deliver food and other supplies. Citizens from the UK and Poland also died, according to those media reports. Mr. Albanese called the news tragic, saying Ms. Frankum was doing extraordinary valuable work, volunteering to provide aid. He repeated Australia's position of supporting a ceasefire in the region and an end to the conflict.
Story number 3, the federal government is offering Australians a voluntary digital ID that works across the economy.
Yeah, it's basically like the MyGov ID, but it will work beyond the federal government into other private sector services and not just within that MyGov portal. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher was at pains yesterday to highlight it's voluntary. People can use their physical ID, such as a license or a passport, to establish a digital ID. Then when you operate in the economy, think banks, utility companies, that type of stuff, you can use your digital ID to establish who you are without needing multiple forms of ID. The legislation passed the Senate last week, so it'll soon be law.
Story number 4, the competition watchdog will allow the big banks and supermarket chains to work together to attempt to avoid the collapse of Armaguard, which delivers cash around the country.
Yeah, it's a cash crisis in that it's uneconomic for Armaguard to continue cash deliveries across Australia, and it's the only operator. It's been bubbling along for months, and rescue talks have involved the Reserve Bank, the big users of cash like the banks, the supermarkets, Aussie Post. The banks and retailers offered a $26 million lifeline last week, but that fell over after Armaguard refused to open its books for due diligence. Complicating things are concerns that if people think there might not be cash available, then they're more likely to want cash, exacerbating the problem. According to the Reserve Bank, there's about $100 billion in banknotes in circulation, of which between 55 and 80% is being hoarded.
Last one, quick one, story number 5. Data from the Australian Electoral Commission shows large corporate donations to the Yes campaign in last year's referendum.
ANZ led the way, donating $2.5 million. Woodside Energy provided $2.1 million, while Commonwealth Bank and Westpac both provided just over $2 million. Wesfarmers, Rio Tinto and BHP all put in $2 million. Other corporates to donate $1 million or more included Woolies, Telstra and Lendlease. However, the biggest lump of money came from the Paul Ramsay Philanthropic Foundation. It gave more than $7 million to the main Yes campaign vehicle, Australians for Constitutional Recognition. That vehicle spent almost $44 million on the Yes campaign. No corporates provided significant sums to the No campaign. The two main No campaign vehicles spent about $22 million. That was half the amount of that Yes campaign vehicle. Yet the No's won.
All right, there we go. The top five business stories in 5 minutes. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Michael.
It's Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024. Remember to hit follow on the podcast. If 5 minutes isn't enough, you can find our longer daily show called Fear and Greed, wherever you listen to podcasts. And today being Wednesday, there is a new episode of How Do They Afford That out as well. It's our sister podcast. Today, we're trying to answer the question, is it time to quit your job? All about maxing out your earnings potential and about burnout. Well worth a listen. I'll put a link in today's show notes. I'm Michael Thompson, and that was the Fast 5 Business News by Fear and Greed. Have a great day.